Good afternoon, everyone. I want to say a word of welcome on behalf of our cathedral staff and cathedral parishioners. Welcome to all of the guests that we have with us this afternoon, this evening. We're honored by your presence, your participation. Hope you know that you're always welcome for Mass with us here at the cathedral. Before the homily, if I could just have a minute to share with you some a particular event that's coming up in the next few weeks. We will begin next Saturday and Sunday. We will launch our stewardship renewal program process that will take us about into the middle of February when we will have a commitment Sunday. You probably are very familiar with the process, that time that we make our commitment to continue in a variety of different ways, the ministries, the great ministries of the cathedral. So you will be receiving more information very, very soon in the mail, or always. There is the information on our website that you can make yourself available to that as well. I want to call your attention to, and I know that unless your eyesight is incredibly sharp, you can't see this, but this, as several months ago, we were able to get a parish app that you can download on your smartphone. We'll probably will take advantage of that during our renewal process as well. It's very, very easy to download and get it set up for you. There's actually a place there that you could make your commitment. I think in times that we're encountering, just the more we can communicate, the better. And this is certainly a valuable tool for us. So if you that did place some papers, information, and instructions on how to do that back in the back on the table. So as you leave for Holy Mass today, please feel free to take one and get set up for that app for the cathedral. In the sacred scriptures, whenever a question is asked, you can count on someone's conversion taking off, faith being born, normally someone's life being radically changed because in that encounter, in that instance, they become friends and followers of Christ. We heard that in the Holy Gospel for St. John for this evening, for the second Sunday in ordinary time. Questions. You may remember that one of the first utterances of God in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, was a question. When God could not find Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he called out to them, "Where are you? Where are you?" We have another question presented by Jesus in the Gospel this evening. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? And then the disciples turn around and answer his question with yet another question. Where are you staying? Where are you staying? The conversation is not about anything overly complicated. It's really a simple question. And a simple question that is St. John's way of suggesting that what they're about to move into is a very personal, intimate friendship relationship with Christ. In other words, where you are staying, that question really could be restated. Where you're going, we want to go with you. And where you stay is where we want to be. And then, interestingly enough, there's a name change. You would be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. What the sacred scriptures bring to us is it seems that God, and especially through the ministry of Christ, at least his ministry on earth, that God is always after someone. Not in a dangerous or cruel way, but he's after somebody. So I've said several times of late, God wants his world back. So once again this Sunday, there's a personal invitation. There's a personal invitation. Come. I'll show you where I stay. I'll show you where I live. And you can be with me. God is always after someone. And in the gospel for this Sunday, in the sacred scriptures, we have two guys that God is after, Samuel and Peter, the prophet and a pastor. And in our Catholic tradition, we believe that revelation is ongoing and linear, continues to move forward. It's not static, it's not cyclical. God will always have the last word. So we believe that the Lord is speaking out, calling our name, telling us something, no differently than he did with Samuel or with St. Andrew, with his brother, St. Peter. God is teaching us, directing us, really bringing us into, comes to us first and foremost through the sacred scriptures. So this Sunday shall we listen with an open heart and docile soul to what the Lord might be saying to us as his people, those he sought for our church and for this important week for us as a nation. What God might be saying to us through the book of Samuel and the gospel of St. John. As we continue to pray and work, as we mark this week the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, tomorrow we will mark once again the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, honor his contribution to our nation, a host of folks. Tomorrow as well, we begin the week of Christian unity. So those who did say yes and to be friends with Christ and that faith that we share. And of course, on Wednesday, when we inaugurate a new president, the first, that charming story, or what seems to be a charming story, of Samuel. For those of a few younger years among us tonight, Samuel was a teenager, probably was 12 or 13 years old, could have been a few years older. I'm not sure he had learned to drive yet. Samuel is that young teenager safely under his father's roof till he goes to the temple and the Lord calls him by name. Like Samuel at the beginning of the story, he's asleep. Being asleep in the presence of the Lord is never a good thing. Like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, being asleep in the presence of the Lord, especially during a crisis or when something significant is happening, rarely is a good thing. But we need to remember that the word crisis comes from the Greek word simply meaning crossroads. You can choose to go down this path. You can choose to go down this path. A crisis is not always or necessarily negative. So finally, after the third call, Samuel wakes up. Probably not unlike the young folks with us tonight. Sometimes you have to call them over and over again My mother did, my dad did, it's time to get up. Finally, Samuel listens and he responds. What does the Lord say? Well, we don't hear about that this evening, since it is several lines previously in the book of Samuel that we know what God is up to. A few lines earlier, God reveals what is coming down. I'm about to do something in Israel that will make everyone's ears ring. God needed to get their attention because not so worthy things were happening. Samuel's father, Eli, was not always paying attention. Samuel had two brothers who were frequently up to no good. So God needed to get their attention, and he frequently uses the people's enemies to get his point across, not to punish, not to destroy, but to cleanse, to get folks back on the right track. So who is the recipient of this message for this Sunday? Is Samuel, a very young man. Samuel's mother was Hannah. And as Hannah could not conceive for years, she kept praying with all her heart to God to bless her with a child. God heard her prayer, and he answered, and Samuel was born. Shortly after his birth, Hannah took Samuel to the temple to give him back to the Lord. Samuel then grew up to be a great prophet of Israel and one of the key figures in the Jewish Testament for the restoration of the Israeli nation to get them back on track with God. So who is God speaking to now in this hour of our nation's history? Really, at the world at large. Who are the Samuels? Who are the Samuels being called to? Raised up to speak with a prophetic voice, to deal with a world that seems more often than not struggling. Who is God after in this time, not unlike the ancient world in Israel and not unlike, if you go back to our nation's history, 1909, 1929, 1939, here we are, 2021. First hearing, it might seem like a time of upheaval. But the thing to remember was a young teenage boy, Samuel, that the Lord raised up to bring forth generations and generations of healing for the Israelites. January 17, 1961, President Dwight Eisenhower spoke these words to our nation in his farewell address 3 days before the inauguration of John F. Kennedy. I quote, "Any failure traceable to arrogance or our lack of comprehension or readiness to sacrifice would inflict upon us a grievous heart, both at home and abroad. Progress toward these noble goals is persistently threatened by the conflict now engulfing the world, commands our whole attention, absorbs our very beings. We face a hostile ideology, global in scope, atheistic in character, ruthless in purpose, and insidious in method. Unhappily, the danger it poses promises to be of indefinite duration. To meet it successfully, there is called for not so much the emotional and transitory sacrifices of crisis, but rather those which enable us to carry forward steadily, surely, and without complaint the burdens of a prolonged and complex struggle. Only thus shall we remain, despite every provocation, on our charted course toward permanent peace and human betterment. It's not unlike the message Samuel was given to bring to the Israelites. 3 days later, January 20th, 1961, the newly inaugurated president, the first Catholic president, spoke of these words in his inaugural address. The world is very different now. For man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. A message not so different than what God gave to Samuel to deliver to the Israelites. So friends, what about today? What are we hearing? Is he calling us by name? How might we answer Jesus' question? What are you looking for? The great promise that somewhere, could even be here, there's yet another Samuel that will serve as a prophet. Prophet speaks on behalf of God so that a permanent peace and human betterment will make another appearance. Only then, like Samuel, like those in the Holy Gospel, Andrew, Peter, the others, we hear and we respond. Then we will move closer to the place where Christ stays. That's where God intends us to be all along.